Evening again, everyone. If you've got a Bible, please turn to Luke chapter 23. But before we get into the word, I just want to pray and ask for God's help. Father, please help me this evening with this subject, Lord God, because what's happening in this broken world, Lord God, is very evident all around us. And people aren't speaking out against it because people are afraid that they might offend people. Thank you, Lord, that in Shiloh we really don't give a monkeys if people are offended by the Word of God. Because we want the Word of God to offend, because we want people to be convicted of their sin, that they can come to Jesus for forgiveness of sins and find salvation and be brought, Lord God, as children of God into the kingdom of God and be freed, Lord God, from the coming judgment upon this broken, wicked world. Lord, speak to us tonight through your word. Help me, Lord God, to speak, Lord God, with authority and power, but yet, Lord God, to tell the truth in love, in your love for a lost and broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we were looking at what in this broken world is happening and the selfishness of this broken world. And I spoke on the book, The Wisdom of the Enneagram, about 9 personality types. How many people went home and Googled it? See, we're just wasting our time speaking in a short term. If I'd have said, go home and read the Beano, you'd have probably read it, or the Dandy, one of them. But anyway, I spoke on this book, The Wisdom of the Enneagram, and it talks about there are only 9 personality types on planet Earth. You are either a reformer, a helper, or an achiever, individualist, investigator, loyalist, enthusiast, challenger, or a peacemaker. Now, I thought I was loyalist, and anybody who would have saw me last night at West Winds Psalm commemoration and preaching there would have thought, well, yeah, he probably is a loyalist. But actually, when you read the book, I'm actually a challenger. And that's because it says it's a powerful person. Isn't that just that? But when you read this book, and I don't put a lot of weight behind it, but it's really interesting because you start to see people, instead of seeing them as people, you see them as a number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9. Oh, she's a number 9 for definite. Oh, he's a number 1, 3's a number 3. You get into this. But it's an interesting book. And it said there only is 9 personality types on planet Earth, which is incredible when you think of the population on the Earth. And I also quoted a book by a lady called Haley Schubert, and she was a writer who says that there are 6 categories of selfishness and selfish people. So you've got 9 personality types and 6 categories of selfishness or selfish people. And she named the categories as the shotgun. I'm riding shotgun. I have to be up the front. They are the sort of person who has to be right up there in your face, and they'll trample anybody else underfoot to get to that position. There is the hoarder. They have to acquire everything, not to keep up with the Joneses, but so that the Joneses can try and keep up with them. Then you've got the most dangerous one, which is the he or the she devil. They will do whatever it takes, whatever is necessary to take what is yours just to stop you having it. It's incredible. Then there is the inconsiderate. They will take any situation, whatever in life, and they will make it all about them. Donald Trump's going to push a nuclear button. Oh, that's because I was having this dream about this terrible, it's all about me. Then there is the self-loathing. Oh, I hate my life. Oh, I hate my life. And they draw all of this poor me, poor me, poor me negative attention to themselves because they love negative attention. And they are obsessed with their own flaws and their own faults because that is what they feed off from other people. When they tell them all their woes and people go up there, they are just sucking all that in. Then there is the self-obsessed. They are bored to death with any conversation that doesn't revolve around them. Do you know that William Gladstone, the former Prime Minister, he said selfishness is the greatest curse of the human race. Imagine saying that. The greatest curse of the human race is selfishness. Selfishness is about being concerned excessively or exclusively for oneself or one's own advantage, pleasure, or welfare, regardless of others. And it is ungodly and it is sinful. Selfishness is all about me, 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 I. And Christians should not be selfish. But we should be like God our Father, like Jesus our Lord. And in this broken world, try to demonstrate selflessness rather than selfishness. Selflessness brings glory to God our Father in heaven. Let's read Luke chapter 23. I'm reading from verse 53. And we're going through into chapter 24. Luke 23, 53. Then he took down the body of Jesus and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a tomb. Jesus has been crucified, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had gone to get permission to take the body of Jesus down, and this is what we're reading. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out from the rock where no one had ever been laid before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned, and they prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Chapter 24. Now on the first day of the week, this is Sunday, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, completely separate from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Listen to this evening. Why do you seek the living among the dead? "He is not here," the angel said, "but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. In the song that we listened to by the Tallies called Broken World, they summarize perfectly their view on this broken world. They summarize it so well. We're living in a broken world, and a broken world won't give you any answers. Everything is upside down. Wrong is right, and right is wrong, but not for long. And there's the hope of the gospel coming in there. But not for long. This broken world won't give you any answers. We all have questions that we think we need answers to. In particular, we want to know, why me? Why me? Why has this happened to me? What have I done to deserve this? Why does everything seem to go wrong in my life? Why can't I get my Christian life together? Why can't I have this in life? Why does everything seem to go completely pear-shaped? Every time I try to get myself in order, why do I always fall flat on my face? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why does it happen to me? Why can't I be happy in life? Why can't I find the right person to love me? The right person to treat me properly? Why did my dad, why did my mum, why did my loved one have to die? Or why is my child so ill? Why did my husband leave me with the kids? Why did my wife leave me for that other man? Why did my parents split up? Why can't I make ends meet? The list of questions we think that we need answers to is endless. You know tonight, you know the questions that you seek answers to, the things that you question God about as you try to come to terms with whatever the challenge is that you face. But we're living in a broken world. A broken world won't give you any answers. The tallies sing of this broken world. Everything is upside down. Wrong is right, and right is wrong. Have you not looked around you recently? Have you not thought to yourself, what the hell is going on in this world? Have you not listened to the radio? Have you not watched on the news? Have you not seen things happening in our own country and thought, what in the name of Nora is going on? Everything is upside down, back to front, it's inside out, it is bonkers. Think I'm joking? We've victims in this country who are treated like they are offenders. And we have offenders in this country who are treated like they're victims. We have former soldiers from the parachute regiment who served their country, former soldiers from the UDR, from the RIR, who served their country, being taken to court for doing their job. We are forced to accept the lifestyle choices of others, even though our conscience says it's wrong. We had PSNI officers parading in Dublin yesterday for gay pride. I'm not against the police, but I am against the police being used in this way by a section of the community to try to justify what our conscience tells us is wrong and what a holy God tells us is wrong. Are they going to allow the police to join the Orange Order again? Are they going to allow the police to join the Psalm societies? Absolutely not. But they can parade through Dublin and more likely in August, Belfast, to support gay pride. It is ridiculous. Our prisons are bursting at the seams. We abort babies for convenience sake. 200,000 babies aborted every year. We're a nation of drug dependence, be they prescribed or illicit, because we want to escape the reality of this upside down world where everything is wrong. We're searching for solutions to life's difficulties. We're looking for answers to life's problems, but we're living in a broken world, and a broken world won't give you any answers. Everything is upside down. Wrong is right, and right is wrong. Do you know that the disciples of Jesus, they had their world turned upside down when they witnessed their Lord being cruelly crucified and killed? They had hoped that he would be the answer to so many of life's problems. They had already seen him healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, raising people back from the dead, and he preached of the kingdom of God and of a wonderful, wonderful world to come. And they had placed all of their hope in Jesus. And now, as they watched this innocent man die, their hopes and their dreams were dashed. Their world was turned upside down. Wrong was right, and right was wrong. They were looking for answers, but the broken world had no answers to give. After his body was removed from the cross and laid in the tomb, the disciples were left completely bewildered. It said that they hid away in fear of the Jews. And they had so many questions. There was so much confusion. And early on the Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and other women came to the tomb of Jesus to anoint his body for burial. And there they found that the entrance to the tomb was open. Having gone in, they did not find the body of Jesus. Oh, praise God for that. Having gone in, they did not find the body of Jesus. And two angels appeared and said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Hallelujah. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And in John's Gospel, we are told about Mary's encounter with Jesus and how she was the first person, a woman, a former prostitute, was the first woman to see Jesus back from the dead. Hallelujah. And she ran and told the other disciples, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And Peter and John, they couldn't believe it. They thought she was a head bin. But they ran up to the tomb and they went in and they could see his body wasn't there. Shortly after, Jesus would make himself known to his disciples. But I want to briefly this evening pick up on the words of the angels to Mary. Because I believe they resound right down through the generations to this very night here in Shiloh Christian Fellowship, to this very night in the homes of people who are watching on Facebook, to this very night to the people who are listening to the podcasts. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for life? Why are you looking for the answers to life in dead places? And that's what the angels were saying. Why are you looking for life in the wrong place? Why are you looking for the Lord of life in the wrong place? Why are you looking for the answers to life challenges in dead places? This broken world is so badly broken that people are looking for answers to life's questions and challenges, but they're looking for them in all the wrong places. We are living in a broken world. A broken world won't give you any answers. The answers you're looking for, plain and simply, can't be found in this broken world. This broken world is such a mess. Everything is upside down. Wrong is right and right is wrong. And it won't answer your questions truly or meet your deepest need. But God's good news is this. This broken world is cradled by a Savior. And nothing here can take him by surprise. Someday all this hurting will be over and every tear's been wiped away and dried. But for now, we're living in a broken world. But not for long. No, not for long. Jesus understands the mess our broken world and broken lives are in. And he alone can give us the answers that we need. Jesus is called Savior because he came to this broken world to save that which was lost. That's us. We are those who through sin were lost. Jesus knows. For those who trust in him, and please let me make this clear tonight. Jesus knows. For those who trust in him, someday all this hurting will be over and every tear will be wiped away and dried. But for now, we're living in a broken world. But not for long. No, not for long. This broken world, ladies and gentlemen, this broken world is coming to an end. It cannot be fixed. But you and your brokenness can. You don't need to look for life in dead places. Jesus is alive. And he can answer all your questions and satisfy your deepest need. Turn from your sinful ways. Turn from looking for life in dead places. Turn from the things that you think are going to help you to find life and help you to find the answers to the challenges of life. Turn from those things. Turn away from seeking life in dead places and come to Jesus, who is the Lord of life, so that you can receive forgiveness of sin and have everlasting life. But for now, we're living in a broken world. But not for long. No, not for long. Because Jesus is alive. Let's pray. Lord, tonight, thank you for the truth of that word, that this broken world won't give us any answers. Oh God, many of us here have been there, done that, got the criminal records, got the alcoholism, the addictions, been there, done that, got the beatings, been there, done that, Lord God, got in debt up to our eyeballs, been there, done that, Lord, just screwed our lives up completely, looking for life in dead places, and this world didn't give us any answers. But then we found Jesus. And in finding Jesus, we realized that as our good shepherd, he was out there searching for us. And it was he who found us, he who brought us into the fold, he who saved us by grace. And Lord, we thank you. And we thank you that whatever this life throws at us, whatever challenges we might face, our answer is found in Jesus who is alive. Jesus who is seated at the Father's right hand. Jesus who is coming back again soon. Lord, our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. Because you, Lord Jesus, are the Lord of life. And we thank you for the full and wonderful salvation that you have given to those who believe. Lord, we know we're living in a broken world, but not for long. No, not for long. We pray for those tonight, Lord, who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, who are still looking for life in dead places. Maybe they think they'll find it in their relationship, or they'll find it in drink or drugs, or they'll find it in something else that this world offers. But Lord, everything in this world is fleeting. The eternal issues belong to you. And we pray, Lord, that by your grace and tender mercies, your Holy Spirit would be speaking right now into people's lives, pointing them to the truth that, Lord, just like the women going to the tomb of Jesus, they were looking for the Lord of life in the wrong place. So, Lord God, help people to see tonight that they're looking for the answers to life in the wrong places, and this broken world won't give them any answers. And may they turn to Jesus. May they be drawn by the Spirit of the living God onto Jesus, who is a wonderful Savior. And may they, Lord, bow the knee to him, and may they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We ask this in your glorious name. Amen. We'll stand to sing our last song.